Any questions from anyone?
What is seva, service, and what are the criteria to understand that what we are doing is actually service? And what shall we do to obtain service, like to get opportunity to serve, privilege? And what should be our mood to serve?
Well, though these are the question, you know, excellent questions, and in one sense, you know, could say it's presumptuous on my part to ask to answer them, because really that's something that reaches the higher plane, the substantial plane. And I'll go about it in this way. Even when we hear of three types of Vaishnava, the Kanishtha, Madhyam, Mahabhagavat, you can say the Kanishtha Adhikari has the narrowest type of vision. What's the word for narrow? I'm trying to think. There's a phrase for that. Like blinders. They put blinders on a horse so they can only run in a particular way because they'll be distracted by so many other things.
Tunnel vision.
There you go. Tunnel vision. It's another description. But blinders. They put blinders on a horse because they might get distracted and leave the path. So that's the position of a Kanishtha Adhikari, that they can be easily distracted, easily deviate from Bhakti Marg. The Bhakti Marg means the path of devotion. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj, says that in the time of the Gaudiya Math, controversial issues were not discussed with novices, as their faith, komal, not kamala, like lotus, but komal, komal, means soft, pliable, lagu, as guru, we're told, is one meaning is heavy, as given in Sri Guru and His Grace, heavier than the Himalaya. It means immovable. Not moved by Pashandi Shastra, like Vishwanath Chakrabarti in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about the autumn season and all the different metaphorical meanings and representations. One place described lightning, thunder, clouds. Lightning, sattvagun, thunder, rajagun, clouds, tamagun. There's many, many interesting things there. But when it talks about fireflies or lightning bugs, depending on which part of America you're from, that in the darkness, the dense, when there's no moon, which is what the new moon, no, the sky, when you have the intense darkness, a firefly or lightning bug seems to give illumination. So it's mentioned in the Kali Yuga, different, due to the dense darkness of ignorance of the Kali Yuga, the different atheistic philosophies seem to be shedding light on things. So Kanishtha has tunnel vision, the blinders, sometimes almost sectarian-like blinders, or, we're told, can perceive the value of the deity, but not so much the devotee. So, in the classic example given in Charitamritam, it's when Meenaketana Ram, one of the Dwadasha Gopal, 12th principal cowherd boy, entourage of Nityananda Prabhu was visiting his mot, his temple, and he, on the plea of, oh, I'm serving the deity, he ignored the Vaishnava. And not only any Vaishnava, but Menaketanaram was an intimate associate of Nityananda Prabhu. Means his within, without, his everything is Nityananda Prabhu. That's a devotee proper. Their existence is always wholly absorbed in their the Asraya Vigraha, to whom they've taken shelter of. They become synonymous with that person. That's the way to look at it. So on the plea, oh, I'm worshipping Krishna. But if he had read the Bhagavatam, Tasmai Deyam Tato Grajam, So Yata, Tasmai Deyam Tato Grajam, So Pujo Cha Yata Hyaham. Krishna says, my devotee is equal to me in every way. And not only that, but we can say more so. And parting instructions to Uddhava, mad bhaktya, puja, abhyadika, the worship of my devotee takes precedence over my own worship. So Srila Guru Maharaj is pointing out what he should have done is, with the permission of the deity, given his full attention to the devotee. That would be proper. With the permission of the deity, I will attend to the devotee. That, if in fact, Sakshat Brajendra Nandana Hari, what more would Krishna want than full attention and service be given to his devotee? Madbhakta, puja, abhyadika. So this is the plight of the third class devotee, Kanishta Adhikari. And what distinguishes third class from second class devotion, the second, in the progressive position, one recognizes that the importance of the devotee, a shift takes place. Srila Guru Maharaj said in his own case, and as a footnote, we should note here how Srila Guru Maharaj, he's being very honest about his own position. He's not trying to conceal something that might be less than flattering or portray him in any other light. He's telling the truth of his story. So he says, when he first came, he thought, all right, we're being told you should take shelter, Guru and Vaishnav. He said, but I was thinking inside that, but someday my heart's inner hankering for a direct connection with Krishna will be satisfied. He said, but now we're being told you're in the beginning position, you'll put yourself under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav, Saru Shastra Guru Vaishnav. He said, but in time, I came to realize the Vaishnava is everything. And this is the mystery, or the open secret of Krishna consciousness. Is that real substantial Krishna consciousness comes in connection with his devotee. You have a superior connection to Krishna than directly with him through his devotee. You can find this in Sri Guru and His Grace toward the end. Govinda Balabhe Radhe Parteye Tomahum Sada. Guru Maharaj quoting Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We don't hear a lot from him, but here is a quote from him in which Guru Maharaj paraphrases this as Krishna saying, oh, you want a direct connection with me? That's not my department. Govinda Ballabha. Who is Govinda Ballabha? Radhe. Govinda Ballabha Radhe Prate Tvamaham Sada. You want a connection with me? You need to go to her. And by extension, who is Srimati Radharani's delegation? Guru. So, the second class position, distinguishing characteristic, is the shift going from the deity to the devotee. When, before Srila Guru Maharaj had joined, there was a Gaur Purnima festival, Mahaprabhu's appearance, and he was at the mat, and there's the deity of Mahaprabhu, and devotee worshipping the deity, and upstairs was Saraswati Thakur and his intimate servitors. And Guru Maharaj wanted to test the understanding of the Pujari. And he said to him first, said, so the deity, you know, Sakshat Vrajananda, he's directly Krishna, or in this case, Mahaprabhu. Or he's, no, Deha Dehi Vibedo Yamneshwari Vijite Vajit. He's directly. Alright. Then I noticed that, and your Gurudev is the highest devotee. Yes. So the Lord is here, personally present, and one of the rank and file devotees is doing the Seva Puja. And your Guru Maharaj is the highest devotee. He's upstairs, and the other higher devotees are with him. And it's Gaur Purnima. I want to understand the situation. And Guru Maharaj observed that man, of course, that devotee, he's trained by Saraswati Thakur. And he responded, he said, Mahaprabhu is more present in our Guru Maharaj. That is a very bold statement. He's saying, he is more present in our Guru Maharaj, more accessible. His presence is more accessible in our Guru Maharaj than here in the deity. That's the point to be understood. Because we can say, yes, as Guru Maharaj told with regard to Archan, we're doing mock. He said it's like a mock fight with live ammunition. We don't, there, Krishna is there, but we don't fully appreciate his presence due to our own shortcomings and limited capacity and adhikar. But in the case of the Vaishnava, na chatasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakritama, and Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, no one is more dear to me than whom? Than who's extending my conception to my devotees. It's also a mystic interpretation of this sloka by Srila Guru Maharaj. So, in this way, we understand Krishna, who is mostly, for the most part, for us, an abstract thing, abstraction, not tangible, becomes very palpable, tangible, accessible through the devotee. So we're told from the second class position, the position of progressive devotion, we can appreciate this. And really, we should all be able to appreciate this because our own connection with Krishna consciousness has come in this way, by the merciful, gracious extension from the devotee of Krishna. So we're told, the Mahabhagavata, it's interesting how we're told, Kanishtha Bhagavata is taking the name of Krishna, Madhyam Bhagavata has at least, is regularly taking the name of Krishna, has an initiation from a substantial Vaishnava, and therefore is to be shown some formal respect. But the Mahabhagavata is described here in this particular interest by the effects of which he has upon you. That see, one, you're observing, oh, this devotee is taking the name of Krishna. This one is initiated by a substantial Vaishnava, and they're regularly, constantly taking the name of Krishna. But here, when I come in the presence of the Mahabhagavata, the holy name of Krishna descends within me. Krishna is so present in him that the holy name of Krishna descends within me. So I remember, having heard this in some level of representation in the beginning, it wasn't the first time I met Srila Prabhupada, but one of the early times. And he was arriving in New York, and somehow I was placed in his quarters to serve him. And so there was like 500 devotees on the other side of the door. Then the door opened up, this massive kirtan, really extreme and intense. And then Srila Prabhupada walked to the door, and the doors shut. And everyone left to attend to the crowd, and I found myself alone with him. And I found that suddenly, within myself, I was vibrating Krishna Nam, or Krishna Nam was vibrating me. Something like that. But Justin, he just walked through the door, but suddenly I was full of Krishna Nam. And then I thought, oh, this is what it says in the scriptures. When you come in connection with the Mahabhagavata, you become filled with Krishna Nam. And then, what? And it says, then you, recognizing, it's really beyond the capacity of a neophyte devotee to verify, certify, recognize who is a Mahabhagavata. But by the grace of a Mahabhagavata, they may get that insight or realization. And then what are we told to do? Then you should offer yourself to him in service. And Guru Maharaj said we can conceive of service in three different ways. One is, well, we always know, we could say that we want to offer the best thing. But what is the best thing can be conceived of in three different ways. One is, we have our own idea of what the best thing is. So, on the basis of our limited experience of the limited, our acquired prejudices, whatever it might be, we have some idea what we think is nice, or good, or the best. So hearing that we should offer the best thing, we may be inclined to lead with that. But a more refined concept we'll find in the scriptures. Sometimes what we thought was the best thing, we may find out that for one reason or another, according to what we can discern from the scriptures, it may not be the best thing, and there may be other things that are indicated there as being the best. Shukta Shakari Bhaji Nalita Kuzmando comes to mind. That's one thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If Bhaktivinoda Thakur were saying, these are things that Krishna, like Radharani, is making for Krishna's lunch, we can understand. They must be very high up on the list. But that's sort of jumping ahead to the third part, because we have our idea, then there's a scriptural idea, but that idea comes from whom? The Vaishnava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's telling us this, he's giving us this insight. This will be the best thing. So our concept of what is the best becomes refined, leaving our own limited assessment of things, Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of scripture, and at last under the influence of the Vaishnava. So, it's mentioned in Prahlad Charit, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, Nava Bhakti. But Srila Guru Maharaj like to emphasize that in Sridhar Swami commentary on that part of the Bhagavatam, it says, Ado Arpita Pasyad, Pasyad Kriyeta, that for something to qualify as bhakti, devotion, seva, proper, beginning, middle, and end was for Krishna. The idea like karma nevadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana, I'll do something that I really like doing, etc., I'm blah 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 blah, and I'll give the fruit to Krishna. Or some of the fruit to Krishna. Sometimes someone would give something to Gurudev on the day they were leaving. They'd say, oh, here, take this. And Maharaj would say, oh, you're giving me your prasad. Like, what's left? What you didn't spend. He didn't always say that. Sometimes. But he is saying for our instruction, not the remnants, not what we couldn't consume, what we couldn't enjoy. Sometimes Gurudev, he told some Bengali saying, but he was just turning, he said, a bogus Radharani. A bogus Radharani. And she's making a garland of Bach fool. Like we have Bach Asura, it looks something, whatever. Anyway, it's Bengal. So she's making a garland of Bach fool. But this Bach fool is known. It's a flower, but it's also a vegetable. I mean, it can... So she's making it, and they say, oh, Radharani, what are you doing? This is a bogus Radharani. She says, no, I'm making the garland of Bhagavad for Krishna. And if he comes, I'll offer it to him. And if he doesn't come, I'll make a sabji. So you think, not like that. And when is that famous Nikirsh Bhagavan Nikirshitome Tadamitattvam? Means, I can't recall, it's a sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, Tadamritattvam, Patipadyamano, Samasta, something. But here it says, significant point is when the devotee thinks, I want to do something nice for Krishna. No anticipation of reward, remuneration. Why is Prahlad the beginning of Shuddha Bhakti? When Nisringadev offers him a benediction, Prahlad Maharaj is a little hurt, saying, I'm not a businessman. It's not that I was serving you to get something from you. I don't want anything from you. That's why it's the beginning of pure devotion. Right? Not jnana karma misra bhakti or jnana misra bhakti. Not imposing our will, our conception upon the upper world. That's karma kanda. Manyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dinavatam anukulyena krishna anushilam bhakti uttama. So this bhakti, uttama bhakti. So we acknowledge, and hearing these things, we acknowledge that we are not there. But at least we need to know, first of all, this is the plane that we aspire to, that is nature and its characteristic. This is the nature of pure devotees. And we want to have some service connection with them in that plane. Pujala raga patagova bhavandi. Madhavendra Puri is so much glorified and the Kirchor Gopinath pastime. Here, and again, it's interesting that the deity stories that occupy the pages of Charitamritam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, are glorifying the devotee, to underscore the point we were making earlier. So that Madhavendra Puri, thinking before Gopinath, thinking of his Gopal and Govardhan, he sees they're offering nice kheer to the deity, and he thought, oh, that wonderful taste, like that could be, I could offer that to Gopal. But then he thought of himself, oh, I'm thinking of this. It's as if I'm tasting it myself. He found some fault in his thinking. I don't have devotion. The devotee is proper. That's their assessment. Dur deva midrashamiha janinan raga. It's my bad luck that I don't have any real love and affection for Krishna, no devotion. Right? No prema gandasti dharapi mehoro. Then we know he goes to sleep, and in the dead of night the deity appears to the panda, the pujari, and tells him that I've hidden kheer under my garments for Madhavendra Puri. And the pujari goes and finds under the deity's cloth a pot of kheer. And he goes yelling, is there some Puri here? Because that's the sannyasi name, Puri.
Puri Maharaj, is there one Madhavendra Puri? Please come. Just now.
Madhavendra Puri comes and they give him those pot of kheer and say, it's a personal gift from Gopinath. And of course he is so thrilled to receive that. But he also realizes, if people hear this, they're going to praise me that, oh, you're such a great devotee of Krishna. So in the dead of night, he flees. Just the opposite. In the lower stage, if we have even the faintest glimmer of a, we want everyone to know about it. Whereas the higher devotees, they're trying to conceal their position. They're not trying to give anyone an impression that they're substantial devotees. Because Saraswati Thakur also says that once they know that they have something, they're so afraid of losing it. They know that it can be withdrawn also. So they're not going to do anything that could, the pride that could cause its withdrawal. So, and Madhavendra Puri, how did he treat that? This gives us some indication also of the proper mood, consciousness. After he finished the kheer, the pot, he broke the pot into many pieces and would carry that in his cloth. And he would take like one piece of the earthen pot and eat that. Because even the pot is divine. This divine substance given by Krishna. The pot, the container, the paraphernalia, tadiyaham samarchanam. This whole line of Krishna consciousness is always consistent. Tadiya means paraphernalia, or what is dear to Krishna. So even what was seemingly insignificant is very significant in his mind and heart. So he'd take a little chip of that, and that would make him mad in ecstasy. But he tried to escape the fame, the pratishta, to be known as a devotee. What type of divine servitor he is. But Srila Guru Maharaj, this is something unique in his analysis. He tells a parallel story to contrast the devotion of Sanatan Goswami. So we know from those, the Srinivasa Acharya song, how they're living, Chaktwa Turnamashesha Mandalapati Srinim Siddhattu Chabat Budvadina Ganeshako Kunyako Pina Kantasrito. They're wearing the kopin, living under a tree. Like Raghunath Das, we hear, he takes some buttermilk. And buttermilk in India is like, it looks like water with a little whitewash in it. It's not like some, it doesn't look like yogurt. Like in the West, they make all these very nice, it's not that kind of buttermilk. It's when you take milk and turn it into butter, you're left with this water. So it's a very insubstantial thing. So they're living so, and we know Sanatana Goswami offering the wheat balls into the fire, and so not even with salt, and living so austerely. So Rupa Goswami got this idea to give something nice to Sanatana Goswami. And one girl from a nearby village made some nice, like, kheer also. And Rupa Goswami surprised Sanatana Goswami with that. And Sanatana Goswami is thinking, where did Rupa get such wonderful things? But, and so he's tasting that. And he is a rasic Vaishnav. This unmistakable taste of divine substance of the highest order, he's able to recognize that. And he, with some alarm, says to Rupa Goswami, where did you manage to get this? Rupa Goswami said, in Yava, nearby, this one village girl in Sanatana said, then find her. Remember, Rupa Goswami reveres Sanatana Goswami as guru. Although it's Rupa Nugalayan, and Guru Maharaj said, then another place, Sanatana Goswami, and you can see in Bhagavatamritam, he's indicating he's a Rupa Nuga, Raghunath Das is a Rupa Nuga, yet he's in the guru position to Rupa. And Rupa Goswami goes to the town, and no one can find this girl. No one's ever heard of this girl. Such a girl, he describes her. No one knows anything about her. He returns to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami is devastated, and he thinks, for whom our whole lives is an aspiration to get the service of her holy lotus feet. We've taken service from her. Meaning that girl was Srimati Radharani. So whereas Guru Maharaj, and I'm only saying this is Guru Maharaj made this parallel, the very high and divine type of analysis, saying, here, Madhavendra Puri, so much getting from Krishna, this prasad, here, coming from Radharani, Sanatana Goswami finding it intolerable that they would accept service from Srimati Radharani. And he has a fever, he runs up with a fever, his body is on fire. And when he lies down, the man next to him, such hot breathing was coming from him that his body's blistering, being covered with blisters. So, Srila Guru Maharaj defines that real seva, the pure devotion, is where the devotee, it's so exclusive that not a pinprick is there to allow for any remuneration to pass back. Das Kori Beton Mori Deho Premadan. The famous slok in Charitamrita says, Das Kori Beton means salary. So I'm your, we always say Krishna Das. I'm your Das. Das Kori Beton Mori. What will it be? Deho Premadan. Deho, give. I don't want anything but love and affection, praying. And then Guru Maharaj defined, what is praying? He's saying, it's like if you, in capital investment, you invest the money, then interest comes in time. What does a pure devotee do with the interest? They increase their serving capital. It's not a time for enjoyment. Rather, it's a time to increase serving capital, serving capacity. So in short, it's what comes down from the upper world into this plane to the agency of Sadhu Shastra, Guru and Vaishnava. That's why we put ourselves under their direction. They know what is service to Krishna. How to get that is volunteer. They say in the mundane world, like in the military, never volunteer for anything. But in the Krishna conscious world, volunteer for everything. It's the die to live program. But in the mundane world, they say, no, don't volunteer for anything. Voluntary submission. Yes.
One little question.
Yeah.
Can you share what this was your first experience of to get some seva? Like, do you remember what this was and how
it happened? Two things I can say. One is, I remember with Gopeshwar Prabhu, he's in Ireland now, because we joined almost like in the same week or something. And I remember, and we lived in a part of San Francisco they call the Mission District. It's where our temple was, south of Market now. But anyway, whatever leftover prasadam there was, our program was, some devotees would take that and go out in the street and distribute it to whoever would accept it. So that seva came to us. They said, alright, they told him, now you go out in the street here and take on this and distribute it. So we went out in the street and we, you know, some people were saying yes, some people were saying no. But at one point, we distributed all of it. We looked at each other and we noticed that we were both in ecstasy from this simple, we knew something very divine and mystical had happened. So we were feeling, that stands out in my mind. And the other thing is, I remember being asked by who was our like GVC temple president to go to a so-called hippie festival in this town in Southern California. Myself and two or three other devotees were in Santa Barbara and doing a 3-day hippie festival. And early in the morning, like 4:30 in the morning, we're out in the neighborhood picking flowers. They have many beautiful, like here, there are many beautiful, they were going into people's yards and picking their flowers. And then distributing, making prasadam, distributing prasadam, engaging in kirtan, preaching. It was a full program, 24 hours a day for the weekend. And then I took a bus back to Los Angeles. And the person who sent me there said, so how did you like it? And I said, oh, I liked it very much. And I started telling him, he said, why? He said, well, because from the time we woke up, we had so many things to do. And he said to me, he said, you mean like responsibilities? And I went, no, nothing like that. Because the word responsibility in my group, that was not something we were looking for. That was not in our vocabulary. So he said, oh, you mean responsible? No, no, not responsible, no. But we had many things to do, and I like doing that. He's saying, well, those are called responsibilities, if you're responsible. You can call it whatever you want. So I just remembered those two things come to my mind. Because then you're asked to take on some responsibility. Instead of just haphazard seva, you're given some responsibility that every day you will do this. I've mentioned this before. Sometimes Gurudev, in a light way, he'd talk about the beginning of the Jiva Dharma, where there's the Babaji Mars, and he's lost, he's in the upper world. These are highly evolved Vaishnavas, so he's actually in the Siddha plane, in his Siddha Swarup, rendering service in the upper world. And he turns to his associate, who's being introduced to that plane, and he gives him some service in the upper world. That some monkeys may disturb, Radha and Krishna are sleeping and they don't want to disturb them. Like that. But Gurudev would say, is that his only seva? Said, rather, we should want to be engaged 24 hours a day. But he's being told, that is your seva, this one thing. And so, as Gurudev was in a light mood, was on his veranda in Kolkata, and every day, Nipun Prabhu, the very old Vaishnava gentleman, he would come up the stairs and give the newspaper to Gurudev. And then he would give his dandavats and then go back downstairs and participate in the rest of the program. So I suggested to Gurudev, I said, well, like this, in the upper world, like on your veranda, he has this one seva. He's to give the paper every day. But downstairs, he's engaged in so many activities. Gurudev said, oh, then it's all right. And at around that time, one girl asked him about Siddha Pranali, which means in Guru Maharaj's words, Siddha Pranali, this short answer to this, means this type of practice for those who are Siddha. That's the simple answer to the question, if you want to know whether or not you're qualified. Guru Maharaj says, yes, these are practices for those who've achieved Siddha. That means perfection. It's not a static plane. And even in the Siddha Swarup, Siddha plane, there's beginning and development. But anyway, so these sort of esoteric practices, this girl disciple Gurudev wanted to ask him something about them. And drawing silence as a response. Then Gurudev said, make off the light, the light switch. And she was like, tapping different switches until finally she got the right switch. And Gurudev said, one who cannot make off the light should not inquire about Siddha Pranali. So there's different types of seva. Radha Krishna Kunja seva. There's all kinds of seva. So our good fortune is that by the grace of Guru and Vaishnav, in this plane, according to some capacity that we have, we're given some opportunity to serve. That's a great fortune. But we'll be careful not to impose our idea of what is service upon the higher. We don't want to be indulged. That's not Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotion, to be indulged. You understand what that means? It means to be indulged is I say something to you, you really don't favor that or agree with it, but you say yes to me to keep me happy. So we don't want to, in other words, you come before Guru and Vaishnava and get them to rubber stamp approval on something you want to do. Really, it should come down to us. Sometimes it may be, but there's a tendency to, we are attached to certain things and try and force them on the higher. Like Guru mentioned, Bhakti Vilas Tirthamart, his son, his Purva Ashram, his former family life, he had a son who his idea of the Goloka world was to be diving and swimming in a pool of rasgola, like a swimming pool full of rasgola. This boy, he thought that must be like spiritual world, swimming in the sweet substance. There may be a stage. Diving to an ocean of sweetness. But we want it to be what Krishna revealing himself to us, not our superimposition of some contrived Krishna consumption. And think about it. Wouldn't you rather know what Krishna actually wants than just guessing? If someone could tell you this is what he wants from you, wouldn't you want to know that? So as I think we mentioned yesterday, or at least recently, that Gurudev's saying, I'll preface this by saying, Gurudev sometimes would pose a question, and then you might think, well, I know the answer to that question. Why is Gurudev saying that? And then before taking answers, he'd say, I know what we normally say in response to this question, but from a finer point of view, he's posing the question again. So he said, like, you can chant anywhere. There's so many things you can do anywhere and everywhere, almost at will. He said, but service isn't available everywhere. So that is the key point for devotees. They're going to say, live in isolation and take Krishna nam.
You will not.
It won't happen. You'll be chanting every nam in the world except Krishna. So, where service is available, the devotees are aware of that, and that's their part. They want to keep that connection. They don't want to give up their service connection. And they say, well, aren't these other things service? They may be, although aprita paschat kriyata, when they're beginning, middle, and end for Krishna. But if something comes down to you and is asked of you, how fortunate you are to give all your energy to try and do that properly. And again, Gurudev, quoting Kunjababu Tirthamar, is saying, when some devotee tried to do something, and some seva, and didn't do it properly, and they said, well, next time I'll, and he was told, no, you have to do it right every time. the plane we aspire to serve. You have to get it right every single time. And I think, well, how is that possible? The easiest example to understand is cooking. You have to do it right every time. You can't blow it and then tell everyone, I'll get it right the next time. No one's going to be happy with that. I burned the milk.
We noticed.
I'll get it right the next time. I hope so. We're praying that you will. No, you got, in cooking, you have to do it right every single time, actually. You know that. Does that mean that it happened? No, but still doesn't change the point that you got to get it right every time. And what are we aspiring? We're not interested in the least common multiple, the least common denominator. What's the least acceptable thing? How can that be the standard for those who are trying to make progress in Krishna consciousness? Rather, it must be the highest. By default, the default position of Krishna consciousness is the highest. And as we heard from again, there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Those are the three types there are. Perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Why should we try for something less? As I've mentioned, one poet with a terrible sounding name said, we need more people to specialize in the impossible. Everybody's doing what's possible. Most people are. Why be redundant? We need people who specialize in the impossible. And Krishna consciousness is the impossible of impossible things. That where everything becomes possible by love and devotion. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. The infinite coming under control of the finite. That's impossible. But that's the prospect of Krishna consciousness. So we think that we want to, that we'll find happiness through consumption, whether it's, and all of its forms, persons, places, things. Whereas, even in the secular world, the idea of the early stages of romance is someone meets someone that they feel compelled to give themselves to. This is when we're talking about the romantic ideal. Not to consume, but to offer oneself to. I found someone worth giving myself to. Bhajaniya sarvasad guna vishishta. Jiva Goswami said, this is Krishna conception. When you come in connection with Krishna conception proper, you want to offer yourself to Krishna. And how do we do that? Through his agent, Govinda Balave, Balava, Govinda Balave Radhe Paratare Tamahamsala. Next nearest. Hare Krishna.